Welcome back to the Against All Gods podcast. It's a series of 10 episodes, and this series of 10 episodes that form the Against All Gods podcast kind of sits under the Extra Point podcast banner, so to speak. We're bringing you some insight into each of the 10 plagues in this week between our teaching on the first nine and, of course, the 10th one. Today, we look at the 7th plague, which is the hail and fire, an interesting plague here aimed at three of Egypt's false deities. And intriguingly, before this 7th plague arrives, something does shift in the way that Yahweh announces the plague and addresses Pharaoh. You know, normally he would send Moses and just simply announce the plague and then it begins. But this time he actually sends a sermon. He actually sends a speech, a very theological declaration from Moses to Pharaoh, and it's actually from God. And in this declaration, in this sermon from God to Pharaoh delivered by Moses, we have one of the most important statements in the entire book of Exodus, for sure one of the most important statements in the plague narrative. It's this verse that says this, "For this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." That's a staggering statement, because right before it in the narrative, which is Exodus 9, 13 through 35, God actually says, I could have sent some plagues and obliterated you before this one. Like, I could have done this a lot sooner and a lot quicker, but I haven't. And then he says this, because I've raised you up to show my power. And so it's a quite intriguing phrase we're going to discuss in a minute. And so we'll return to that. But first, let's talk about the actual contents of the plague, hail and fire. Now, keep this in mind. Historically, Egypt does not have hailstorms. Its climate is among the driest and most stable in the world. There's an occasional Mediterranean low-pressure system, or maybe some Red Sea weather, that can bring unusual precipitation to the Delta region. But nothing in Egypt's weather record indicates that Exodus 9 has ever occurred. Catastrophic hailstones mixed with what the text calls fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail. In other words, lightning. Lightning in a hailstorm in Egypt, possibly for the first time in living memory. Now, the target of this, economically, of course, are two crops, flax and barley. Now, both of these were in their late growth stage, based on what the text says, and both of these were completely devastated. And here's what this means, and here's why it matters. Flax was the source of linen. That was Egypt's primary textile, and it was a major export according to historical records. Barley was the foundational crop for bread and beer, and both of these crops are destroyed. Interestingly, wheat and spelt, which were not yet mature, they survive this plague. And so this plague is targeted in a way that shows judgment, and yet there's a sense of mercy in that it doesn't affect these two other crops. So I think there's some interesting intersections here between judgment and mercy, which gives us an indication of what God is doing in his sermon and also in this plague. He's sending a message that there is still time, that mercy exists. This plague also has one other quite interesting aspect. This is a plague where Yahweh also gives a warning. He tells Pharaoh in advance to bring your livestock and your servants inside. And so Pharaoh must have passed this on, or other folks have heard it, because some of the Egyptian officials, they do believe the word of Yahweh and they do obey, and others do not. Interesting, isn't it? You find that there are mercy moments in this plague. Some crops aren't destroyed. Some people are given a notice and believe it. So it's just quite interesting here how God, even in his judgment, is throwing signs of mercy as well. Well, theologically, this is the first moment in the plague narrative where we see Egyptians actually responding to those mercy moments. We would say perhaps responding in faith. It's the word of Yahweh reaching past Pharaoh's hardness, and apparently it finds some traction in the hearts of unnamed officials. The text seems to say that to us, and I think this may be a hint or a pointer to what is later described when the time of the Exodus occurs after the 10th plague. The Bible says that a mixed multitude leaves Egypt with Israel. So who is this mixed multitude? It may be some of the folks who in plague 7 really heard Yahweh and actually did what he said, and they saw the benefit of it. And so they realized, when the time comes, I'm going to leave with these people. And so, again, here's a mercy moment. The plagues are not only judgment on Egypt. They seem to be a very missional act. It's Yahweh proclaiming his name among this nation in a way, at least in this plague, where there may be an avenue of response available, an opportunity to respond. Now, let's talk about the verse I mentioned earlier. This is another theological point we want to observe in this plague. This declaration, this divine declaration that Yahweh raised Pharaoh up for this purpose. Now, that's generated a significant amount of theological discussion. It's been debated and talked about, explained. Paul quotes this directly in Romans 9 as a touchstone for his argument about divine sovereignty and human accountability. And so these two things, when they're mixed together, most people get uncomfortable. These texts are somewhat uncomfortable. I think they're meant to be, because what they show us, even though we don't fully understand it, is that Pharaoh's choices and God's purposes, they are not in competition. The hardness of one man's heart, chosen and confirmed over 7 plagues, that's Pharaoh's, it actually becomes the theater in which the glory of God is displayed for all the earth. So they're not enemies. In God's arena, here's how I like to say it, they're often allies for God's purposes. Hard to comprehend, hard to balance, but not for God. God and his word consistently see these as working together, not against each other. Now, regarding the gods and goddesses that were targeted by this plague, there were 3 of them. They were all deities, false deities in the atmospheric domain, we'll call it. The plague targeted Nut, the sky goddess. It targeted Set, the god of storms and chaos. And it targeted Shu, the god of air. All 3 of these were presiding over the region of the atmosphere. And after this plague, all 3 stood silent as Yahweh commanded fire and hail from heaven. They were powerless. Like every other plague, the false deities weren't able to really do anything at all. And so Yahweh's supremacy and superiority is again seen and declared verbally and visibly. And then something intriguing happens here, something startling. Pharaoh confesses. In fact, this is one of the first times that he speaks in a longer fashion. He uses language of penitence. I don't think it's genuine repentance, but it is some sort of admittance. He says, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Now, that's a very theologically precise thing Pharaoh is saying. He's never said anything like that yet. And what's striking is that it means absolutely nothing. And Moses knows this, okay? And this is where I want to bring an application regarding the fear of consequences and the fear of the Lord. Because this is one of the more practically important distinctions in our spiritual life. What moves us to change? What produces action in us that's long-term? And in this case, though Pharaoh voices apparent change, apparent repentance, it wasn't. The truth is, he was just responding to the consequence of the hail and the lightning. And so we see into his heart, and we know it's really driven by consequences, not conviction. Now think about it like this. Pharaoh, he's standing there in the wreckage of his agriculture. Lightning's crashing across the Egyptian sky. Lightning that really has no business being there in one sense, at least weather-wise. And that's when he makes this theologically accurate confession. He names sin, he names righteousness, and he names Yahweh. But notice he does this in the moment of the catastrophe. And Moses sees through it. In fact, verse 30 tells us exactly how. He says, I know that you do not yet fear God. How does Moses know that? My best guess is that he knew the timing of this confession was produced by the hail and the lightning. The moment the hail and the lightning stops, Moses knows Pharaoh's heart will harden again because he realizes that this verbal penitence, it's just consequence generated. And consequence generated fear, consequence generated confessions, they evaporate as quickly as they come. The minute the consequences stop, then the penitence, the repentance, the confessions, they stop as well. You see, genuine fear of the Lord is not triggered by outward catastrophe. It's really inward conviction. Now, I admit, often a catastrophe, a crisis, can reveal conviction, but it's still inner at the core and it lasts. It's not recanted or retract the moment the catastrophe's over. But that's what happens here. The hail stops, the wheat survives, and Pharaoh recants on his apparent repentance. His confession is no longer good, he says. And what happens is the hardened heart of Pharaoh continues. Very sad. And yet we see in this moment of sadness that God was extending an incredible amount of mercy at specific moments. That's Plague 7. On our next episode, we'll look at an east wind that brings an army maybe you're not thinking of. We'll talk about that more on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.